Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Second Chronicles, the 16th chapter, and in verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." God's looking for some folks. He's looking for a certain kind of person. He's looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him. And notice his eyes run to and fro. It's like he's almost like a desperate thing. You know, he's frantically searching. He's looking desperately to find loyalty. God is looking for loyalty. And when we look up that word loyal in the original language, it means perfect, complete, full or fully committed. God's looking for those whose hearts are loyal, whose hearts are fully committed to him. Fully committed. What does that mean? Full of commitment. To be fully committed is to be full of commitment. And for us to be full, that means we're talking about our spirit, our soul, our mind, and our body. We're talking about all of us. Full of commitment. Not just committed outwardly, but committed inwardly also. Totally, completely committed. And a lot of people don't see the fullness of God's blessing in their life. They see little trickles here and there, but they don't see the fullness of it because many times they're not fully committed to him. But he shows himself strong on behalf of those who are fully committed to him, those who are loyal to him. Now, we talked about that we don't want to confuse faithfulness with loyalty. We don't want to confuse the two. The two are different. We looked at 2 Chronicles chapter 25, or right here in 2 Chronicles, just go forward to the 25th chapter. And we saw that King Amaziah, he was faithful, but yet he wasn't loyal. Verse 1, it says, "Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehadidin of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord." Now, it would have been great if there was just a period after that. But there isn't. There's a comma. And it goes on and says, "but not with a loyal heart." Well, notice that. Doing what is right in the sight of the Lord is being faithful. That's being faithful to the Lord. You're doing everything right. You're doing what he's told you to do. You're following his instructions. You're obeying him. That's faithfulness. That's being faithful to him. So here he was being faithful outwardly, but yet the Bible says his heart was not loyal to the Lord. He wasn't loyal inwardly. And when you look up the word faithfulness, it means constant, steadfast, devoted, dedicated, committed, dependable, reliable. Now, I believe I'm looking at a bunch of folks like that. I'm looking at folks that are dependable, reliable, steadfast, dedicated, committed. And that's why you're here tonight. Committed. Be here. Be where you're supposed to be. Be in church. Committed to the word. Committed to the church. Devoted. Dedicated. These are all characteristics of faithfulness. Very important. Faithful. We need to be faithful, yet not just faithful. We actually need to move on into being loyal because God is concerned with not just our outward dedication and commitment and works. He's interested in what's going on in our heart. It's important what's happening on the inside of you, because God is looking at your heart. He obviously sees what's going on the outside. He knows when you're doing things right in his sight. But God also sees beyond the outward into the heart of man. He sees what's going on inside our spirit. So we want to make sure that our spirit is also right in the sight of God. Over in 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10, and in verse 30, it talks about King Jehu. And man, he was a fireball for God. You ever read about Jehu? I mean, he was very zealous about serving the Lord. Very zealous. And it says in verse 30 of chapter 10, and the Lord said to Jehu, this is after he's completed his mission, because you have done well. Everybody say, done well. Well, we say, well done. Right? And we want that. We want to hear that someday. We want to stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, that's what he's getting here. He's getting, you've done well in doing what is right in my sight, and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart. Your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. So God is rewarding him for his faithfulness. God is saying, because you were faithful to me, you did what was right in my sight, you have done well. You did everything, notice that statement, you did all that was in my heart. God says, your son shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. God blesses him for his faithfulness. You know, the Bible says that the faithful man will abound with blessing. Glory to God. Makes you want to be faithful. Because if you're faithful, you'll abound. Everybody say abound. Abound with blessing. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't end there, though. Verse 31, next verse. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart. For he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin. Now think about that. God just commended him for incredible faithfulness. He says, man, because of your faithfulness, I'm going to bless you. And you're going to have a son that's going to sit on your throne till the fourth generation. And yet, notice, his heart still was off. Things were not right in his heart. He took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, his God. It's amazing how you can carry out what is in the heart of God without having God's heart. He carried out what was in the heart of God, but he did not have God's heart. David, King David, was a man after God's own heart. He had a heart-to-heart connection with God. But here we see Jehu didn't have that heart connection. And yet, he knew what he was supposed to do. Concerning his, we could say, his ministry. Concerning the work that he was given to do. And he did it well. He did it well. He did his job well. What do you mean? He was faithful. He was committed. He was dedicated. He was trustworthy. He was reliable. Steadfast. He was all these things. And yet, his heart wasn't right. Now think about that. Think about it. You can have these incredible qualities and be a faithful person. People look at you, you're faithful. God looks as you're faithful. I recognize what you're doing. I recognize your work ethic. I recognize that you're where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you're serving me well. You're in your place. You're being patient. You're being steadfast. You're staying in there. You're sticking with the job. You're not quitting on me like so many do. You're sticking with it. And yet, his heart's still not right with God. He still doesn't have the heart of God. He knows what God wants him to do, but he doesn't have God's heart. So you see, we got to look past just our outward works. We got to look past what we're doing, and we got to get down into our heart and find out, do we have a loyal heart? Loyalty has the heart of the one it serves. Now, if you have a loyal heart, you're going to obey God. But not everyone who obeys God has a loyal heart. So we need to understand the difference between faithfulness and loyalty. Faithfulness has, like we said last time, has good works, but loyalty has God's heart. Faithfulness deals with your works, but loyalty always deals with the heart. Faithfulness is based on conditions, but loyalty is unconditional, even as love is unconditional. Faithfulness is conditional. So people are faithful to their job unless their pay changes, unless the circumstances change, then they don't stay. They move on to something better. If a better opportunity opens up, they go that way. That's faithfulness. But loyalty is unconditional. It's committed regardless of the conditions. It's committed regardless of the conditions. Without loyalty, a faithful person can abandon and betray you at any time. Think about that. Without loyalty, a faithful person can abandon and betray you at any time. They're faithful, but at any time, that could change depending on the conditions, depending on the circumstances. You think of the word disloyal. When you look up the word disloyal, it means treacherous, betrayal. So a disloyal person will betray you. They'll desert you. They'll turn on you. They'll turn against you. You know, we see an example of this over in John chapter 6 with Jesus. Jesus dealt with some disloyal people from time to time. How many people know that's true? How many people want to be loyal? God wants us to move on to loyalty. If we're already there, praise the Lord. Let's get stronger in it. But let's keep moving. Let's go deeper. Let's make sure that our heart is pleasing to God and not just our works, not just our outward dedication. John 6, Jesus has a group of disciples following him. Most people, when they think of disciples, they think of the 12, but actually he had a lot of disciples following him at different times. Here in John 6, Jesus' ministry, remember he just fed thousands of people. And so he's got all these people following him. He's got all these people excited about his ministry. And they're followers of his. In fact, they're disciples of his. A disciple is a disciplined one. One that disciplines himself to follow in the footsteps of his master. I mean, that's a committed person, a disciple. He's committed. He's faithful. He's dedicated. Steadfast. Following the Lord. Praise God. Well, here they are, John 6, and it says in verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, heard what Jesus was just preaching, he was preaching some great things. It was a Wednesday night, something about faithfulness and loyalty or something like that. It's just one of those messages. And many of his disciples, when they heard, many of his what? Disciples. Now, these are disciplined ones, right? These are faithful ones. When they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. This is a tough word. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? Look at verse 64. But there are some of you who, you disciples, you faithful ones, you disciplined ones, who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. See, we're talking about disciples. We're talking about the faithful. The faithful. And it says, he knew from the beginning who would betray him. Notice verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Simply because he taught something that didn't agree with them. That was a tough word. They didn't like that. They got offended at him. And they walked with him no more. I think it's interesting that that's verse 66 in chapter 6. 666, right? And they turned away from him. They walked with him no more. But notice again verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. Again, that's disloyalty, betrayal, disloyalty. He knew from the beginning. They were faithful, though. They were following him. They were committed to him. I mean, you think about it. I mean, he's traveling on these dusty roads, and you can imagine the kind of sacrifices that were made to just tag along with Jesus, to follow him, be one of his close followers, be a disciple of his. And they stayed with him. Outwardly, everything looked great. But Jesus knew from the beginning. He knew something from the beginning. He knew those who did not believe and who would betray him. In other words, he knew those whose hearts were not fully committed to him. He knew those whose hearts were not loyal to him. Even though they looked loyal, they were committed, they were faithful outwardly. He knew their hearts. Which means disloyalty is perceivable. It can be perceived if you're spiritually discerning. If you have spiritual discernment, you can perceive disloyalty in a person's heart, even though outwardly they're cleaning the windows. They're doing everything. I mean, they're just cleaning up after you, loving you, taking care of you, doing all these great things, smiling, doing everything right in the natural. Yet inwardly things aren't right. And it can be perceived. But most people don't recognize that. Because most people judge things based on the outward. How things appear. How people are performing outwardly. Most people judge themselves based on their performance. And as long as you judge yourself based on your performance, you will be undiscerning concerning other people. And where their heart is towards you. But if you would judge yourself according to the Spirit and find out where you really are according to the Spirit, it will make you spiritually discerning. So like Jesus, you're able to recognize those who are really with you and those who are just tagging along and doing a great job at it. Very committed to tagging along. Another example, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. King David is running for his life from King Saul. God has anointed David to be king. Saul's not willing to step down from his throne and turn the kingdom over to David. And instead, he wants to kill David. And so he's pursuing David's life. But as time goes on, more and more people are defecting from King Saul. And they're coming to David. But there are also spies. There are also those that are secretly trying to come in and kill David. So he's got people coming to him. How does he know those who are really with him and those who are just sent there to betray him, to kill him? So here we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 an example of it. It says, verse 16, then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, if you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment. So notice what David says. He says, if you've come really to help me, because they're saying, David, we want to help you. We want to join you. We want to be on your side. And some of these guys are warriors. They're soldiers. So these can be some very dangerous men. And so they sound convincing. But he stands before them and he makes this statement. He says, you know, if you're really, really for me, if your hearts are loyal, if you really believe in me, then there's going to be a heart connection here. Our hearts are going to be connected. He no sooner says this, verse 18, it says, then the Spirit of God, came upon Amaziah, chief of the captains, and he said, we are yours, O David. We are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you, and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. So David received them and made them captains of the troop. He recognized the anointing. He recognized the Holy Spirit was in this. The Spirit of God is upon this. And so he makes them captains of the troops. David was looking for a heart connection. He wasn't just going to take them at their word. A lot of people could look like they're with you, but yet their hearts aren't fully committed to you. And if push comes to shove, they may end up betraying you, becoming your enemy. So, but David knew because he was looking for the heart connection. You and I need to live out of our spirit. We're born again. If David lived that way, how much more should you and I live that way? Waiting for the anointing, looking for that heart connection. Jesus lived that way. Jesus recognized. He knew where Judas was. He knew where Judas was. He knew where these other people were. He knew those who were following. He knew. He can hear it in their voice. He could perceive it. There was that one woman that came to him crying out after him. And she was from the land of Canaan. She wasn't an Israelite. She didn't understand Jewish culture and history. And yet she cried out and said, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. Well, she don't know what that means, son of David. She probably don't even know who David is. But she's hearing other people say that. She's mimicking. She's mimicking other people. She's looking. She said, that guy got healed over there. And he yelled out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. If I just confess, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That must be the magic statement that gets it done. If I just lift my hand and raise my voice and shout a certain way or act a certain way, surely God's going to hear me. And he's going to move on my behalf. We don't want to just be mimicking, copying natural outward things, and our heart's not really there. And this is how, unfortunately, this is the kind of world we live in. Most people live that way. Acting is one of the most popular things in our society. People love actors. They love play acting. They're addicted to it, in fact. They love acting. And most people are caught up in that, in just acting, because they're not really making sure that their hearts are in what they're saying and what they're doing. You got to make sure your heart is in what you're saying and what you're doing. And sometimes there'll be things that'll come out of your mouth. And I've said things even in prayer. And I've said things and I thought, well, what I meant was. And the Lord's like, no, that's what you said. That's what you said. That's what was in your heart. Well, no, that's not really what I meant. No, that's exactly what you meant, because that's exactly what you said. That's what came out of your heart. And I had to examine myself and I found out, well, you know, the Lord's right. Imagine that. And then you repent and you get your heart corrected. And you find out where you're really at. That's why I love the Bible. That's why I love time of prayer. I love the Holy Spirit. Because he'll convict you. He'll show you. He'll help you to locate yourself. If you can't even find yourself, how in the world are you going to discern anybody else? And I'm telling you, this world's a dangerous place to live. You don't want to go through this world undiscerning. Because a lot of folks are full of deception. Self-seeking. And they'll betray you. They'll turn on you. Even folks that are faithful. Because they're not loyal. Loyalty is of the heart. And we've got to make sure that we, number one, are loyal. We're loyal. We're right with God. In order to be able to discern where other people are at. And even now, especially living in these last days. Because the Bible says there's going to be a lot of folks betraying one another. Right? Jesus said concerning the last days in Matthew 24:10. He says, and then many will be offended. Everybody say offended. Here's that word again. Offended. Remember Jesus said back in John 6, he says, does this offend you? And then they what? They betrayed him. Does this offend you? And then they betrayed him. Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. So betrayal means that you are one time connected. You were connected in some way. At least in the natural, you were connected. But now, they've betrayed you. He says, that's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of cases of that in these last days. Many will be offended and will betray one another. And notice that again. Offended, betrayal. Offended and betrayal are partners. People need to understand that offended and betrayal are partners. When you get offended, with someone, it's because your heart's not right with them. Your heart is certainly not loyal towards them. If somebody's offended at you, their hearts are not right with you. Their heart is not loyal towards you. You can't be offended with whom you are loyal. It's impossible. I said it's impossible. If you're loyal to someone, then regardless of what happens, regardless of what is said, regardless of any kind of negative thing, you're going to forgive. You're going to overlook their transgression and always believe the best because that's what love does. And loyalty is love. Are you with me? See, that's something about ministry because you know when people are connected. There's many times I leave a service and say, man, I have such a good word, my Lord Jesus. Only 30% of the people got it. Only 30%. How do you know that? Perceive it. It's perceivable. You can perceive when people's hearts are there. There's some people, they just show up week after week. Their hearts are totally not here. Their hearts are somewhere else. They come, and outwardly they're committed, they're dedicated, they're steadfast, but inwardly, I don't know. I don't like the music. Those people are a little goofy. I didn't get anything out of this word. But God wants me to be here, and I'm obedient to God, so here I am. I know it's the church God wants me to be in. I don't know why he wants me here, but here I am, Jesus. Faithful to you. Faithful and obedient to you. No, you can't get offended with whom you are loyal. You'll forgive, overlook, and always believe the best because that's what love does. And loyalty is grounded and rooted in love. Proverbs 19:11, for example, says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Let me read this from the GNT translation. If you are sensible, you will control your temper. When someone wrongs you, it is a great virtue to ignore it. And you know, virtue is a quality of the heart. It is a quality of the heart. So when you're loyal to the Lord, see, when you're serving him, it's impossible to be offended at the people that he's called you to help, that he's called you to be connected to. You cannot be offended with people that you're being loyal towards because your heart is right towards them. And so you're going to believe the best about them. You're going to forgive them. You're going to overlook stuff. You're not gonna be thinking on evil things. You're not going to be thinking about possible wrong. You're not going to be entertaining thoughts of offense and hurt and the way you were treated. And they put someone else ahead of you. And I'm faithful. I don't doubt you are, you little disloyal thing. See, your heart's not there. Your heart's not there. Your heart's not there. Your heart's not right. But you're still committed and faithful externally. So we got to watch. If offense comes in, we know, wait a second, my heart's not right. Loyal people don't get offended. I said loyal people don't get offended. Do you know, man, I've been pastoring now. We're coming up on 25 years. We're in the 25th year of pastoring this church. Not everybody has just been really sweet and nice. I got news for you. We've had all kinds of things. Don't bother me a lick. I don't think about it at all. I just hope for the best. I feel sorry for folks that got offended at me because their hearts weren't loyal. I feel sorry for folks that left here thinking wrong, thinking bad things. I feel bad for them. Why? Because I'm committed to their success. Even now, I'm committed to their success. I can't do much for them because they've departed. They've turned against me. But you know what? I still love them. I still care about them. I sure wish I could help them. I'm still committed. Conditions change. I'm still committed. I tell you right now, tonight, I am totally, fully committed to you because I'm totally, fully committed to the Lord. I'm serving him. I'm here for you. I'm here to serve God, and he's placed you in my life to serve him through. And that's what I do, and I do it gladly and joyfully, and I love it. And there's nothing you can say or do to offend me. You could only make me feel bad for you if you be stupid. And anybody who would turn against me is absolutely stupid. You know that. Oh, absolutely. Stupid. Why would you turn against me? I'm here for you. I'm committed to you. I preach good news to you. I want to help you. I pray for you. Why would you turn against me? I really feel bad for you. That's like a derangement. But a person that's disloyal is deranged. Because things aren't right in their heart. It's a spiritual derangement. They might be intellectually intelligent, but they're spiritually deranged. They got things all twisted and wrong on the inside of them. So if you entertain offense, it's because you're not loyal. You're not a loyal person. The person that you're offended with really isn't the problem. It's you're being disloyal because you cannot be offended if you're a loyal person. Because you're not into it for yourself. You're doing it out of love. You want to serve and help them. It's all about the interests of others, not just your own interests. That's what love's all about. That's what loyalty is all about. So we can say loyalty is simply faithfulness that's of the heart. It's everything faithfulness is outwardly, but it's inwardly too. So I'm not just committed to you. Remember, talking about being loyal is fully committed, full of commitment, spirit, soul, mind, and body. And in thought, your thoughts are committed. I'm committed about thinking good things about you. I'm committed to your success in my thought life. I'm committed to you mentally. Fully committed to you. Committed to you in my heart. Inwardly, I'm thinking good things. I'm not just smiling at you and doing what you ask me to do and helping you outwardly while inwardly annoyed with you, agitated by you, and offended at you. See, that's not what's going on. There's a genuine love for you. We want to be committed to people from our hearts. But there's people, they can be doing all the right things outwardly, but they're angry on the inside. They're discontent. They're frustrated with people. People are bothersome to them. And yet outwardly, they don't show it. They never show it. They'll never show it. They'll never show it. They might show their family. They'll go tell Alfred about how they feel. But they're not going to tell everybody else. They keep it well concealed. And we don't want to be two-faced. We want to be committed from the heart regardless of other people's flesh. Faithfulness will only stay with you outwardly, while inwardly it lives independent of you. So outwardly it's with you, but inwardly it's independent of you. It's not committed, it's not connected to you. You know, this is something that can be true even in marriages. There's people that are married and they're committed to that marriage. They're not going to get divorced. They're not going to get divorced. Divorce isn't the issue. They're going to be there. They're going to be there. When you go home, they're going to be there. When in the morning, they're going to be there. They're going to cook the eggs. They're going to go to work. They're going to make the money, whatever it is. You know, marriages are going on. People are faithful to each other. Nobody's committing adultery outwardly. But inwardly, there's married couples that despise each other. They despise each other. Now, they're not going anywhere. They're going to stay with each other. They're going to stay in this marriage. Outwardly, they're committed. Inwardly, they despise the person. Inwardly, the person annoys them. The person bothers them. The person agitates them. The person is a burden to them. Inwardly. Outwardly, they would never commit adultery. Inwardly, lusting, looking elsewhere, thinking about other people in the wrong way, their hearts are not fully committed. People despising and lusting and coveting is all the result of a disloyal heart. If you can get your heart loyal, those problems will go away. Those struggles will go away. And you can actually love each other fully. Fully committed. Full of commitment towards each other. Thoughts and actions. Feelings, the whole thing. From your heart. Am I loving from the heart? Some married people need to check up on their marriage and see where they're at. Employers. Employees. People are faithful to their employer, but man, he's a jerk. He's a jerk, but you keep showing up, and you're on time, and you're a great employee. You're there, but the company's a bunch of, and you're not loyal to that job. You're not loyal with your work. You're doing all the right thing. They keep giving you raises because you're a wonderful worker, but you're disloyal. Because inwardly, you're not committed. If you're saying things bad about the company, if you're saying bad things about the boss, the employer, if you're saying bad things about the employees, if things are irritating you and you don't enjoy your job on the inside, you're a disloyal person, even though you work. How many people know that's going to hinder your blessing? I don't know. I just want to walk in the fullness of the blessing. I want you to walk in the fullness of the blessing. How many want to walk in the fullness of the blessing? So let's get down to the heart. Are our hearts fully committed? Because God's eyes are going to and fro, searching throughout the whole earth, looking for those who he can really show himself strong. He wants to show up. He wants to manifest. He wants to do some things in people's lives. But they got to be loyal. He says, well, you're faithful, great. You got some blessing, but it's not the fullness of the blessing. Because there's disloyalty. You're not taking your thoughts. You're not taking your words. You're not taking what's going on in your heart, your attitude, what you're believing. What are you believing? Are you believing the best? Are you believing the best about your employer? Are you believing the best about the place you work? Are you believing the best about your customers? Are you believing the best? Or is everybody just an irritation to you? And you're just pressing through, man, because you are faithful. And you know God rewards faithfulness. But of course, disloyalty will uproot a lot of those rewards. I said, disloyalty will uproot a lot of those rewards. So we want to walk in the fullness of the blessing. Everybody wave your hand in the air just like you care. All right, praise God. Just want to make sure you're still there. Praise God. Number three. And this is what we just got caught up to it. Faithful to church. You're faithful to the church, but you don't get very much from the services. I don't like pastor's delivery. It was so boring tonight. Just line upon line, line upon. But I showed up. Bless God, I was here. I stayed through the whole service. Didn't get a thing from it, but bless God, I was there. Thank you, Jay. I get rewarded because I was there. Yeah, you do. It's a puny reward, but you'll get it. But we know you're not loyal. Isn't that the truth? If that was the case with you, that would be disloyalty. So you came to church faithfully, but you were disloyal in the service. So God's eyes went to and fro and shot right past you. Hit the person next to you. The person next to you got blessed. Woo! And you looked over and went. I don't know why I go to this church. Well, God sent me here. God sent me here. That's why I'm here. Now bless your darling heart and stupid head. Maybe we can get your mind renewed if you paid half attention. I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking to somebody. Because I got off my notes and that just flowed out. So I'll just get back to my notes. Your flesh is committed, but your heart is straying and betraying them. Love doesn't do that. I said love doesn't do that. Loyalty will be upfront and honest about its inabilities or capabilities. Because, you know, after all, you know, people are faithful, but just because you're faithful to someone, that doesn't make you their slave. You're not their slave. You're faithful. You're fully committed. You believe the best. But at the same time, you're using wisdom on how you approach things. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens. It doesn't say be burdened with one another's burdens. And so we have to recognize when something's getting to be too much. Because, see, people get over the ditch and say, well, if I'm fully committed, man, it means I just got to do everything they tell me to do. Well, no. No, but you have to be honest about it. You have to be honest about it. Don't act like you're fully committed, you know, and willing to do everything they tell you to do, but at the same time, your heart's not loyal, and you're murmuring, you're griping about it, you're complaining that you have to do this. That's just being disloyal. And you don't want to be that. It's being two-faced. It's not right. We can't accept that from ourselves. But if it's something where it's too much, it's beyond what you're capable of doing, then you just be honest about it. Well, to be honest about it and say, I love you, I want to help you, but I'm not going to be able to do this or that and the next thing. It knows its limitations. It understands what it can and can't do in that relationship and in whatever circumstances it might be in. So loyalty will be upfront and honest about these things. It's going to say, well, this is too much. We need to go a different route to get the help we need rather than just act like we're there, but we're not really there. Somebody say, love bears burdens, but it's not burdened with other people's burdens. What do you mean by that? Well, here in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God. We could say this is loyalty. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. In other words, loyalty loves to serve those it loves. So it doesn't get overwhelmed by it. It's not burdened by it. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 13. It says in verse 13, then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. So these Philistines, these wicked people, they had Bethlehem. They had taken that territory from the Israelites. They had a stronghold there. It's like Fort Knox. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Man, that's loyalty. They're so loyal to the king that the king says, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem." He's not being serious. He's not expecting somebody to go over there and get him a cup of water. But these three guys heard it. And they said, "Bless God, the king wants a cup of water. What are you going to do?" And they went and they got the king a cup of water. You talk about service. You talk about dedication. You talk about commitment. You talk about love. That's a laying your life down love for the one you serve. Jesus said, if somebody asks you to go a mile, what do? Go 2 miles. If they ask for your coat, give them your tunic also. Give them your t-shirt. He's saying, go the extra mile. Faithfulness will go the mile. Loyalty will go the extra mile. Faithfulness will give you what you ask for. Loyalty will give you beyond what you even asked for. And that's how we want to live our lives. We want to live our lives loyal, going the extra mile, going beyond just what's expected of us, just what's required of us. We want to go beyond that because we have a heart to serve. We have a heart of loyalty to serve first the Lord and those that he's placed in our life. You know, there's been some folks, they've started out and they were very, very faithful. Actually, they were very loyal. And they're very loyal, very loyal, very loyal, very loyal, very loyal. And then their loyalty slipped backwards into faithfulness. So, in other words, their heart left, but they still maintained the outward devotion and commitment. And I've seen that, you know, many times. Over the years, you see people, their heart left. I've seen people, their heart left. I know exactly when their heart left. But they stayed in the boat for another year. Nobody else knew it. But their hearts weren't right. They were uncommitted in their heart. But they remained committed outwardly. They still had that faithfulness about them. But they had slipped back into from loyalty to faithfulness. Think about that. You know, when you think faithfulness, that's a great thing. No, not in this context. Loyalty is the goal. Loyalty is the goal. We don't want to just settle for faithfulness. We certainly don't want to be loyal and slip back in to faithfulness. Some relationships start out very loyal, but then something happens, and then it slips into faithfulness, and everybody still thinks everything's okay. And it won't be long that there'll be betrayal. There'll be offense. People will be offended, and there'll be betrayal. You all got relationships and things, right? Make sure you're being loyal. You're a loyal person. You do what you do from the heart. You do it from the heart. Can you say amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you again for the word. We praise you and bless you, and we give you all the glory for all these good things.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.